You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 11 June. We got local mining production data due later this morning. And of course, World Cup kicks off 9 o'clock tonight. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Robert Nkabela, he's from Perpetua Investment Managers at SPA. So the numbers were horrid. I suppose we knew that was going to happen, but the stock went higher. We'll get his views on that. We're going to be chatting with Pay Inc., their economic index, as it declined fairly significantly in May, but year on year it's up. Which point do we look at? And then Dr. Rudolf Buerta, the latest Ultron FinTech Household Resilience Index, actually looking fairly good, but of course things have changed since then with rate increases. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, MTN eyes ambitious 30% market share of home connectivity across the African continent. They say there are 70 to 90 million homes on the market without high-speed internet. Business Day, police corruption revelations put SA grey list review at risk, although that review is only happening early next year. Morning markets, S&P was red, down 1.6%, NASDAQ red, down 2%. The East is mostly red, Sydney's up 0.25%, Tokyo down 1.5%, Hong Kong down 1.2%, and Tencent off 2%. Commodities are mixed, gold futures down 4,084, Brent is higher at 94.59, platinum is essentially flat, 1,662, and palladium is up at 1,244. The rand is 16.55, Bitcoin 61,400, and top 40 opening call, a red open, 400 points or 0.4% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Lonwabo Nkabela, Perpetua Investment Managers. Lonwabo, appreciate the early morning SPA. We saw, we knew this was coming. Of course, the trading update, which had seen the stock sell off down to, back to 2010 levels. Revenue was up, but the big number was HEPS, down over 50% to below 2 Rand. Talk around Black Friday, overspend on promotions. KZN distribution still giving trouble. That all said, the market actually pushed the stock up. Your thoughts on the results and the potential here for SPA?
Hi, good morning, Simon. And thanks for having me on the show. And yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, it really, you know, the result was well flagged, maybe why the market took it, you know, slightly positively, but it, you know, from a low base. But there were some, I guess the real question is around the ability to implement a turnaround. Yeah. And to what degree were some of the challenges they have once-offs? You know, so they had quite a big spike in marketing spend. So that was up some 46%. You know, and they're saying that they, with hindsight, you know, they weren't really being scientific around, you know, their marketing and promotions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how much gross profit margin do you give away and how much volume do you get? You know, so, you know, they're paring some of those back, have brought in a new marketing head as well, and so we'll see, you know, with time what fruit that bears. And then I'd say the second one, employee costs were up some 10%, which is a big number, you know, in a low inflation environment, and again that was around you know, overtime related to the KZN DC. You know, they had stock outs, you know, which they actually ended up having to hire trucks and more employees and trying to solve those stockouts. And so you really had that cost blowout. They, part of the reason why the market took it positively, they said that the last 3 months, you know, it has turned the corner and has become profitable. It is a much lower activity period. So obviously, like the first half, you've got Black Friday, you've got December.
Yeah.
You know, so the true test will really come around those peak busy periods, you know, whether they can manage those, you know. So those are the two really big impacts on why the results at the top line was weak. So you know, in South Africa, they had revenue up 1.7%. And I think internal inflation was running at 2.6%. So that meant that volumes were actually down, you know, by just shy of a percent. You know, so top line is challenging, but it was really below the line, you know, where they had challenges. And then lastly, the last one is really the retailers that are struggling, you know, so they had debtors' costs or bad debts that actually doubled relative to last year. You know, so, and that's a feature, you know, over the years that has become more prominent, you know, which really just speaks to how are they going to make their offering a bit more attractive for the retailers, reduce costs, you know, particularly logistics and kind of help them with sorting of inventories and just competing in this low growth environment. You know, yeah, so that one is probably a you know, is going to be a harder fix in my view. Some of the other things are more in their control. But really the retail one will depend on how the market receives, you know, their offering. Does their loyalty rate improve, you know, and are they able to deliver to franchisees more efficiently?
I get your point on that. I mean, there is a lot within their control. You know, KZN and distribution, which they say is working better. I take your point around the timing of that. Overspending on promotions. These are sort of things which are, I want to say, easy fixes, and maybe not as easy as I'm implying, but certainly easier fixes.
No, I think so. I think Spa, you know, often people comment around that. Something Warren Buffett said, that it's exceptionally difficult to turn around a retailer, you know, once. I think in this case, actually, Spar's not the retailer. You know, they're the logistics back-end provider, you know, supplier and wholesale provider. And so, you know, my sense is that it's a much easier fix than trying to fix the retail. You know, now you've got to, you know, change shops and change customer perception. I mean, obviously, like 60/60 is really done well. You know, and so there is that challenge as well. And maybe at the margin, Checkers is going into some of Spar's smaller towns and some of those more less busy areas, and that's also becoming, you know, a part of the reason for the challenging environment, and consumer preferences are changing. So that's what does make it hard. And you know, there's that component that I one does worry about. But my sense is, in the main, it's still an easier fix than the typical retailer.
Got you. And I like your point. Yeah, but it's logistics perhaps more than retail. So therefore, as you say, maybe an easier fix. We'll leave it there. So I'm Kabela, Perpetua Investment Managers. Appreciate the early morning. That's our poll today on LinkedIn. Is there value in this? I like what Nwaba is saying there. Maybe there are some easier fixes here. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
General Shogun Naidu, he's head of stakeholder engagement at Pay Inc. Pay Inc, of course, used to be Bank Serve Africa. Shogun, appreciate the time. The Pay Inc Economic Index tracking sort of monthly value of electronic transactions cleared through Pay Inc. We've just had the latest survey. Index down 2.1% in May. It's lowest since November, although it is up year on year. I'm not sure which number to be paying attention to, although I do suspect the one is probably that it's at the lowest point since November, and it's tough being a consumer, and this index is telling us that.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you for having us on your show and allowing us an opportunity to speak about the latest reading of the Pay Inc Economics Index. As you've correctly surmised, those are two very salient highlights, or two very salient points, i.e. the reduction in the Pay Inc Economic Index, the 2.1% on a month-on-month basis, which is, as you said, the lowest since November 2025.
Yeah.
But that being said, it's 4% higher than a year ago, right? So what that tells us is that more and more people are moving to electronic payments and using electronic payments as part of their daily payments arsenal. But the circumstances in which we're living are obviously having a trickle-down effect on the payment activity that we've actually seen in this last few months.
You made the point there as well around real time, and I want to jump ahead to a question. Please. EFT and debit check volumes contracted, but PayShap, which I love, and real time clearing grew. Is this consumers under pressure, or is this perhaps a more structural change to those real time payments, which are, I mean, they're just a thing of beauty?
Ah, thank you. And thank you for appreciating that. And that's really what we're trying to do as the National Payments Utility, to be able to drive more and more people to be using digital payments and more real-time payments as part of driving digital financial inclusion. So I think you've captured it there, that more people are using instant payments and PayShap is becoming more ubiquitous. And that's really part of the objective and the vision for the Saab when we introduced PayShap. But as you've captured, because of the pressures that we're experiencing, more and more a result of the inflationary pressures that we're experiencing, I think more people are starting to become a bit more mindful about their spending habits and about those things that they can control. And to your point, factors such as your, like in the use of the EFTs. So it would be whether it's your insurance policies or your installment, your payments and things that people can control and have a bit of latitude to thinking about, well, I don't know if I want to continue with this gym contract right now. Perhaps I'm going to actually cancel that. So you probably find that trickling through in that some of that data. But the fact that volumes are still quite, I mean, it's, you're looking at a decline. So the numbers of that we processed, we're looking at approximately 186.3 million in April. And we'd had a marginal decline to 185.5 million in May.
Okay.
But they're still 5.2% higher than a year ago. So it demonstrates that more people are using digital payments as part of their daily makeup.
And that comes to the other point. You've got a new component, cash supplied to banks, that declined in May. And again, this is probably more about that structural shift to digital and digital payments, which is a South African story, but truthfully, a global story as well.
Absolutely correct. It is a global story. I think more and more markets, you'll find that there's a realization that cash is never going to be done away with. And so you'll find that language is moving from becoming cashless to becoming cash light or less cash. So the cash data point that you've mentioned is a new introduction or relatively new introduction into the index. But what we do is we monitor the cash supply. So PayInc has a system called the Integrated Cash Management System, which manages cash supply between the banks. So it really tracks the order between banks, because banks also use the cash at their disposal as a means of being able to manage their own cash usage. So PayInc sits in the center and actually manages that system. And hence, we've observed that there's been a slight, noticeable reduction in the cash that's moving between banks, which ties into some of the observations that you made.
Yeah, absolutely. As we sort of, I'm old school. I still like some cash, but I love instant payments and the PayShap. I mean, it's simple, it's easy, it's wonderful. Leave it there. Shogun Naidoo, he's head of stakeholder engagement. PayInc, appreciate the time. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Dr. Roelof Botha. We've got the latest Ultron FinTech Household Resilience Index Q4 2025. Roelof, always appreciate the early morning. The clear point, I think, here is that the index is rising for the seventh quarter. It's looking good, but in per capita terms, we are not really making any progress. We are effectively going sideways in many ways.
Yes, Simon, we saw the GDP figures a couple of days ago, and that surprised on the upside. Well, it wasn't a huge surprise to myself, because the lower interest rates, you can see it in virtually every key macroeconomic indicator. You can see the pickup. The credit extended to households loans and credit extended to households, that has just picked up now after almost 4 or 5 years of steep decline because of these the record high interest rates we had. And the minute the interest rates started coming down, your better bond index of home loan applications started moving up. The Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index started improving. Your bank impairments as a percentage of their assets started going down. All of these indicators started moving in the right direction. But then, unfortunately, and the big problem is the decision last year to change the target range for inflation from 3 to 6%. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. So there was a tolerance of 3 percentage points, 300 basis points, and they changed that to 3%. I cannot believe, at the time, I couldn't believe that National Treasury actually accommodated this. They did give the four, they said that there's, we can lift it maybe to 4%, but nobody is exactly sure what they mean by that. Mm-hmm. So we are now have a target point. And that target point is not much higher than your sophisticated high-income economies where services are approaching 80% of GDP and where they do not have the same structural problems as we have. And these are countries that are not like South Africa. South Africa is far, far removed from the lucrative consumer markets of the world. It costs a hell of a lot more to get products into South Africa and to get products out of South Africa. So when there's an oil price shock, and this has been proven by what some of the works of renowned econometricians have shown, that one of them has the surname Baba. Listeners are welcome to go and Google him a little, but he knows what he's doing. They found that for an oil price shock, the inflationary impact is 100% higher for emerging markets than for high-income countries. And that's why emerging markets, like South Africa, are supposed to have a little bit more flexibility when it comes to inflation target. The minute inflation increases now, we have a rise in interest rates. Despite the fact that there is absolutely no demand inflation in this economy.
I get your point, and I want to go down that road, because under the old mechanism, our midpoint was 4.5%, which means the current, what we had, 4% inflation, and to be clear, we might drift a little higher. We might get to that 4.5. I think Saab said 4.4 was their upper target. Point is that if we'd had this shock under the old inflation target regime, there would be no change to interest rates. This really is I was going to say structural, but it's not structural. This is a paper plan.
Yes, it's absolutely amazing. People out there, millions of them, millions, are paying more now on their mortgage loans. They are paying more on their credit cards and their overdrafts because of one administrative, issue, and that is that they changed the inflation target range from 3 to 6% to 3%. At the time, I almost got a heart attack for the second time. And this was just, I couldn't believe, I just couldn't believe it. The economy has just started to move in the right direction, 1.4% year-on-year real GDP growth.
Yeah.
That is such good news. We were set for higher growth this year. And yes, of course, the higher oil price, the higher fuel price is going to knock us a little bit. But the interest rate, I believe, will do more damage than good. The interest rate increase. And Joseph Stiglitz, a Nobel Economics Prize winner, he agrees with me, by the way, or I agree with him.
I get your point. And I remember chatting with Casey Sprake last year. She's now at AG Capital, and she was very, very concerned around the change in the inflation target. And the short answer is it's been borne out. If we hadn't changed it, we wouldn't have the increase in the prime rate. And instead, we sit here, and every single household with some debt is poorer. We'll leave it there. Dr. Roelof Botha, always appreciate the early morning time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Kian Nyonyani yesterday. He, of course, Prime XBT. We're talking PGMs. They've been having a tough time, moving lower, trading fairly well off those 2025 highs that we saw around September, October. We asked if there is opportunity here or do we have more downside. Some 40% of you said, yep, more downside. A third said, nah, maybe it's time to be buying. The rest said, you are still holding. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokli, Nicole, Siren, Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, AI, data, and the World Cup.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.